For those of you that may not know, Jason Hamlin was with us Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And we broadcast those services over the internet. And while he was ministering, what happens to me, and this happens almost any time I'm hearing anybody preach, the Lord begins to minister to me, begins to show me things, begins to open things up to me, and literally, it's like the Lord sows seeds of sermons. And sometimes the sermons aren't related to the subject of the sermon we're hearing, and other times they are. Well, one of the things that the Lord dealt with me about had to do with this whole thing of, you're developing a vision and capturing this vision that God has given to you. Now, for those of you that have been around for a while and you've heard a whole lot of my teachings, what Jason shared Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, in some places, was almost word for word things that I have shared before. So this should not come as a surprise to you. And now this is interesting. This whole thing about developing the vision, and so forth. The Lord told me one of the reasons that He had Jason come in and teach that was because people that had heard it from me had ignored it. And the Lord said, I sent somebody else in there to teach them the same thing, to give them another chance to get a hold of this and apply it to their lives. Because they are going to be held accountable when they stand before me if they've done this. So there was one more voice that came in, and to the best of my knowledge, Jason has never heard any of my teachings along these lines. How many of you remember when he was teaching, some of the illustrations he gave were the exact same illustrations that I gave when I have taught on this over time? So that's just one of the reasons why the Lord gave it. Another reason was to reinforce how important it is to those who are applying it, and so on and so forth. Now, I'm not going to reteach everything that Jason taught, but tonight, what I want to talk about is what the Lord showed me, and that is the path to the vision. So this is a follow-up to those messages. Now, you know that Jason shared how that he has a 9-sermon series on this whole subject of receiving your vision and developing it and so on and so forth. I have not listened to those 9 sermons. So I don't know if what I'm going to cover tonight is covered in those 9 sermons. It might be, but I haven't listened to those. But I want to talk to you tonight about the path to the vision. Now, let me just briefly recap. On Sunday morning, he was sharing about receiving and developing your vision. And he gave 5 points, and then he added a 6th point at the end of the sermon. Real briefly, those 5 points are this. Seek God for a vision. That's number one. Number two, write the vision. And this comes basically from Habakkuk chapter 2. Number three, obey the vision. Take the unusual response. Number four, keep the vision pure. Number five, have faith in the vision. And then the 6th one that he added was protect the vision. Now, all those sermons you can get, he taught on all of this and so on and so forth. And again, I'm not going to go into it, but I wanted to give you those 6 to lead up to this, to kind of take this another step forward, if you will. Because a lot of times people can talk about, well, how do I start? I mean, this whole thing about, the vision and so forth. I can remember one time talking to somebody about all of this, and in their mind, they thought this term, getting this vision from God, receiving this vision, was about like John on the Isle of Patmos when he had the vision of the final 7 years of human history. Well, this person thought that's what that meant, a vision. Well, it can mean that, absolutely. But I've used this secular term to try to help people understand this concept. So along with this word vision, if we were in the secular world, we could call it a business plan. Get the business plan or the ministry plan from God for your life. So that's saying the same thing as the vision. So somebody could say, well, where do I start? I've never heard of this concept before. And that, you wouldn't believe how many people, how many Christians have not heard of this. Have not, I don't know what to do. And I've counseled with so many Christians over the years exactly what we heard of those 4 sermons with Jason. And these principles, get this vision, write it down. So, sometimes people look at me and they kind of, cock their head and they kind of squint their eyes a little bit. I know they're trying to get a hold of this, But it's just something, you know, the bell's not ringing somewhere. It's just not connecting. And so I try to explain it, you know, and come at it from different angles. You know, what does God want you to do? Well, I don't know what God wants me. Well, you've got to pray. And we're not going to get into the prayer aspect of it tonight, but the more time that you spend in prayer, especially praying in the Holy Ghost, God's going to speak to you, and He'll begin to give to you the plan for your life, this vision, the ministry vision, your life vision. So how do I start? I just don't understand. Well, let me give you an example. Look first in Mark chapter 16. Mark 16. Because we were talking, or Jason was talking about, you know, you take this vision, you write it down. Well, what is the vision? The vision is what God wants you to do. The vision is what God wants you to accomplish, whether it's in your personal life or your ministry, but primarily relative to your ministry. In John chapter, or in Mark chapter 16, look at this. This what Jesus says, verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now look over in John chapter 14. With this passage in mind, look in John chapter 14. And look at what Jesus says in verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I shall do, or the works that I do, shall he do also. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. You want to know where to start? This is where you start. Right here. What is Jesus saying in these two passages, in Mark and in John? He is saying, look at me, consider what I have done, and this is what you will do. So we go through and we take a look at what Jesus has done. What did Jesus do? Well, he opened blind eyes. Deaf ears. People were able to hear. Lame legs were healed, were they not? People could walk. Dead were raised. People that had, it talks about, you know, the palsy, and on and on and on it goes. Devils were cast out, were they not? Absolutely. So we take a look at this in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the life of Jesus, and we see all these things he did. And what God is trying to do is paint a picture for us. He's trying to give us the vision. Because if Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe, in my name they'll cast out devils. Well, didn't Jesus do that? Absolutely. And he tells you, look, this is what you're going to do. In John 14:12, what I did, you shall do also. So when we create a vision of this, when we write it down, you can go to the passages. You can look throughout the four Gospels and the passages where Jesus did these things and write these things down. And then that becomes you. I will lay hands on the blind and speak to the blind and they will see. I will lay hands on the deaf and speak to the deaf and they will hear. To the lame and they will walk. To the devils and they will depart. And on and this is you. This is you. And you begin to write this down and you put, instead of it being Jesus, you put you in there. And you begin to capture this vision of you doing these things. See, if you don't believe you can do these things, then you won't do these things. And what's worse is when you're in churches that teach you to establish a vision of not doing these things. They teach you can't do these things. And you say, yeah, but I've never seen these things done before. Yes, you have. In the life of Jesus. Are you with me? He's presented himself as the example. He's presented himself as the vision that we capture. And so if he said, what I did, you'll do. Then we say, all right, in Jesus' name, I will lay hands on and speak to the blind, to the deaf, to the devils, to the lame, to the sick, to the, you know, whatever it would be. And if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, throw that one in too. I will speak with new tongues. I will be filled with the Holy Spirit and I will speak with new tongues. And nowhere does it say to rationalize this. It doesn't say to try and figure it out. If you try to formalize everything in the Bible about what we're supposed to do, trust me, you will end up failing because you can't come up with a formula. There's nothing in there to, there is no formula to prove you can do this other than the Word of God. So we have here an example of the kind of vision and the kind of thing that we should
that we should do, that we should begin to pursue and begin to develop in our own eyes. But taking a look at this, the path to the vision, I want to give you two examples from Scripture. The first one is Jesus. And I want you to turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. And look what Jesus says. It's a very interesting statement. In John 5, Jesus says in verse 19, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself but what He..." What's that next word? "Seeth the Father do." You see that? "For what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." So what's happened? Jesus somehow has captured a vision of the Father doing these things, of the Father wanting these things. And He says, "I will only do what I see the Father doing. I will only do what the Father has presented unto me." Well, now that brings up an interesting question. Where did Jesus get this vision? Where did it come from? Well, back up to Luke chapter 4. Actually, I'll tell you what. Back up to Luke chapter 3. No. Back up to Luke chapter 2. Hang with me here. Luke chapter 2. Verse 42. "And when he was 12 years old, they," his family, "went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast." What feast? The feast of the Passover is revealed in verse 41. Well, the Passover is over and the family is going home and they couldn't find Jesus. So they turned around, went back to Jerusalem to try to find him. And verse 46, "It came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them," meaning the experts of the law, experts of Scripture, "both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers." At the age of 12, the vision is starting to formulate in Jesus as to what he's supposed to do. Because he had a comprehension of the role of the Messiah that astounded even these guys. Now look in chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Jesus is baptized, comes up out of the water, gets filled with the Holy Spirit. In verse 1, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." Now we know that he was tempted of the devil for 40 days and confronted the devil and so on and so forth. But let me ask you a question. What do you think, if he's led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days, what do you think is happening in the wilderness? Well, what would happen to you if you spent 40 days alone with the Holy Spirit? You think he might give you some revelation? And didn't Jesus even tell us over there in John chapter 14 and chapter 16 about what the Holy Spirit would do as far as teaching us, but then also showing us things to come? Remember that? How did Jesus know the Holy Spirit would show us things to come? Because that's what he did with Jesus. And if you look in chapter 4, verse 14, it says, "Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went a fame of him throughout the region round about." So what's happened, the vision is formulating even at a young age. But then he gets filled with the Holy Spirit. He goes out there into the wilderness, and for 40 days the Holy Spirit is giving him revelation. The Holy Spirit is giving him understanding. The Holy Spirit is painting this vision before him. And throughout his life, Jesus learns to understand the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And he makes this incredible statement. And he says, "I don't do anything but what the Father shows me what to do. I don't do anything but what I've seen the Father do. What the Father reveals unto me. This vision that the Father has given unto me for my ministry, that is what I do, and that alone. I don't do anything else." Now look over in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. So we've seen Jesus capturing the vision. We've seen Jesus receiving this vision for his ministry. And we've also seen Jesus, you know, he goes through and he fulfills this vision. What the Father shows me, what I see the Father do, this is what I do. Now, in Hebrews chapter 12, look in verse 2. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith." Now look what it says next. "Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame,
and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. What was the joy set before him? For the joy, let me rephrase it. For the fulfilling of the vision that the Father had given unto him, knowing what it would do, knowing what the completed work of the Father, of the Father's plan for his life would do, for the joy of the completed vision that was set before him, he endured the cross. Now, what do we have? And I want you to think about this, because this is what the Lord was showing me. He's got this vision. It starts at age 12, but it firms up when he's about 30 years old. The Holy Spirit begins giving him these instructions, giving him and revealing to him what the Father wants him to do. And then he goes out and he begins to do these things. He begins to speak these things. He begins to teach these things. Why is he doing that? For the joy that was set before him. For the joy of knowing that his completed work could restore mankind back to the Father. For the joy of seeing the sin nature removed out of mankind. And the life of in the nature of the Father being restored back the way God had intended in Genesis chapter 1. For the joy that was set before him. But I want you to think about this. In between the time that Jesus got the vision and in between the time he got the vision and the time that the vision was completed, think about what he had to do. Think about what was on the path to the completed vision. People dragging him out of church to kill him. Interrupting his sermon to drag him out of the church to kill him. But he didn't stop. Because for the joy that was set before him, he endured being dragged out of the church with people intending to stone him. He endured people calling him names. He endured people ridiculing him. He endured people turning their backs on him. He endured his own family rejecting him. He endured all the people that continued to accuse him of being filled with the devil and casting out devils by Beelzebub. He endured the rejection of the religious leaders who should have known better and should have recognized God operating through him. He endured the rejection of his own people. He endured all his disciples turning their back and walking away from them as he delivers unto them the truth of the kingdom. He even looks at the 12 and he says, well, are you guys going to go too? And Peter, this is one time he got it right. He said, well, where would we go? You have the words of life. So the 12 hung around. You know what else he had to endure? He had to endure a Judas on his ministry staff the whole time. But for the joy that was set before him, he endured all of that stuff. Because he wasn't looking at that stuff. What he was doing was looking down the narrow path of the plan that the Father had laid out for him. For the joy that was set before him, he endured being put on trial, knowing he couldn't open his mouth. For the joy that was set before him, he rejected the help of legions of angels that would come down and have delivered him. Think about it. He knew that with a word, he could get the help of the angels and they would come down and put an end to what was happening right then and there. But he refused that because of the joy that was set before him. Listen to this. The value of being delivered was less than the value of fulfilling the vision. Let that sink in. For the joy that was set before him, he endured people beating him, spitting on him, whipping his back, forcing him to carry a cross for a while. Laying him down on that cross and nailing him to that cross. For the joy that was set before him, he endured all of that. All of it. That was on the path in between the vision and the fulfillment of the vision. You see this? Because when you start thinking in terms of God, give me a vision for my life. God, give me a vision for my ministry. And it's like, well, praise God. And you listen to a lot of these preachers out there and they make it sound like everything's going to be happy. But then to cover their tracks, they say things like, yes, but you'll endure challenges along the way because God will tell you to do something and you won't have enough money to do it. Well, praise God. If that had been the least of Jesus' worries, he could have just gone fishing. Remember? Open the mouth, first one you catch, take the money out and pay the tax. Money wasn't a problem. Money was never a problem for Jesus. People gave to him. They ministered unto him. But from the moment that he received that vision to the moment that vision was fulfilled, the only way he was able to keep going was because of the joy that was set before him.
Listen, if he had gotten his eyes off of what was set before him and turned them over onto the beatings and turned them onto the rejection and turned them around and looked at everything else that was going on around him, he would have never finished. Never. But because he realized what the Father had shown him, because he had not only seen the vision, but he had received the vision and made it his own. You say, well, how do you know that? Because of what he said, my will is not mine. I do the will of the Father. My doctrine is not mine. My actions are not mine. My words are not mine. I've got this vision in front of me of what the Father wants done. And I'm telling you, I don't know his exact words, but I can tell you the essence of how he prayed. Father, what do you want me to do tomorrow? What do you want me to do today? And there's times when he was standing up and he was talking to people, and people were asking him these crazy questions to try to mess him up. I mean, do you know how much? Read the four Gospels. Do you have any idea how much stupidity he had to put up with? Think about it. These experts and all the priests and the Pharisees and these people coming to him and ask these questions, and they should have known better. They were older than Jesus. They were in the priesthood. They were all of this and all of that. And they had to come. And, have you not read? Have you not read? What does it say? And he had to keep taking them back to what they already should have known. He had to put up with that. He had to put up with the desecration of the temple. And yeah, we know he took the whip and he dealt with it. But he had to deal with it. You see what I'm saying? In between the time he got the vision and the time that he fulfilled the vision and is now set at the right hand of the Father, he had to put up with all that stuff. All of it. And the only way that you're going to fulfill your vision is if you maintain your vision on the joy set before you. Listen, let me tell you something. The vision that God will give you for your ministry, whatever it is, there's light at the end of the tunnel. What I mean is, He's not going to give you a vision, and the end of the vision is gloom, doom, and despair. What He did for Jesus, He does for us. He says, here's what I want you to do. And if you say, well, God, would it all be easy? What do you think He's going to say? What was it Jason said? God doesn't answer stupid questions? That's a question God's not going to answer. Will it all be easy? If God did answer, He would say one word. Duh. You really think so? For the joy that was set before Him, He endured. I mean, everything else paled in comparison to the cross. But you see, the cross was in between the vision and the completion. And the only way to get to the completed vision was to go through Jerusalem, was to go through Galilee, was to go through the beatings, was to go through the ridicule, was to go through all of that, and to go through the cross. That was the only way to get to the completed vision. That was it. There was no other way. But for the joy that was set before Him. Listen, at any point in time He could have stopped. But He didn't. Yes, but God sent Him to earth to do it. You're on earth. You're here with a purpose. You're here with a purpose that most Christians don't know that purpose. Most Christians don't have a clue what they're called to do. So God's in heaven waiting for them to get their act together so that He can give to them the vision. Yeah, but Brother Martin, I don't want to be whipped and beaten enough. You may not have to. Here's the thing. When you capture the vision and make it your own, you understand that there is a joy at the end of the vision. That the completing of the vision is filled with joy. For the joy that is set before me, I'll go forward. For the joy that is set before me, I'll endure. For the joy that is set before me, I'll pass through all the regions of turmoil and tempest and storms and all this other stuff. I'll even endure the cross for the joy that is set before me. I want you to see somebody else. Paul. Look in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Because we're talking about this vision. Listen, I'm telling you right now. When we talk about vision, don't think in terms of pictures. It can be pictures. But remember the secular term, business plan.
Okay? In Acts chapter 9, this is where Paul is on the Damascus Road. The bright light shines. He's blinded. Jesus reveals himself. And Paul comes, well, at the time he was known as Saul, comes to this incredible conclusion that he has been persecuting the one that he thought he was serving. And so Paul was blinded and he's there in Damascus. And God begins to speak to this fellow named Ananias. And he says, Ananias, I want you to go over. And he tells him where to go. And I want you to minister to Saul. And he confirms to Ananias it'll be okay to do that. It'll be safe if everything's okay. And if you look at this, in verse 15, when Ananias is questioning, he said, I don't know, Lord, I've heard bad things about this guy. The Lord says unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Now look here. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. What's God saying here? I'm going to give Paul a vision of what he is to do. I'm going to give Paul the business plan or the ministry plan for his life. I'm going to show him what it is that he is supposed to do. Now, look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll come back to Acts in just a moment. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul talks about some of this. I mean, he makes reference to some of this that the Lord has given to him, this showing, this vision that God gave unto him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, he says, it is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I mean, stop right now. Look at that. Visions and revelations of the Lord. Think about what he's saying. He's talking about the things that God gives us relative to our lives. And specifically to his own life here. I knew a man, he's speaking of himself. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. 14 years ago. Think about that. 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Now, where it says lawful, the better way to put this in verse 4 is, he showed me things that, quite frankly, I don't even know how to begin to describe it to you. I don't even know how to begin to explain to you everything that he showed unto me. I don't think it's possible. That word lawful could be translated possible. I don't think it's possible for me to sit here and give to you and share with you everything that the Lord showed me. Everything that he revealed unto me. Now, if you look back in Acts chapter 26, we get a little bit more information about what it is the Lord showed him. Now, what's happened is Paul is on trial. And he's been brought before King Agrippa. This is right before he is sent to Rome to stand on trial before Caesar. And he says here in chapter 26 of Acts, verse 12, he's speaking to King Agrippa. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now you see this? Paul is sharing with us more about what happened to him on that Damascus Road, that vision that the Lord is giving unto him, the ministry plan for his life. Now look at verse 19. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. In other words, once the Lord gave it to me, once He revealed it to me. See, the Lord can reveal it to you, but you still have to capture it and make it your own. Because you can pray and say, oh God, give me the ministry vision for my life. Give me this ministry business plan, if you will. You know, help me see this. And God will say, okay, fine, I'll reveal it to you. And He starts showing you a few things about all this. Now, you can reject it. Say, nah, that's not what I want. Give me something else. And He's going to say, there is nothing else. I can't give you anything else. Because this is the plan that I developed for your life from before the foundation of the world. I knew you were going to come along. I knew you were going to be born at this time. So I've got this plan laid out for you for now. So this is it. This is my plan for you. You're to be a pastor. You're to be a teacher. You're to be, you know, whatever. And He begins to reveal this to you. So there it is. It's in front of you. Now what are you going to do with it? See, you have to embrace it, accept it, make it your own. Write it down, meditate on it, pray about it, get more details about it. And He says, I was not disobedient or unfaithful under the heavenly vision. In other words, once it was given to me, I accepted it, I received it, and that set the course for my life. That set the course for my life. Now look over in 2 Timothy. We're going to jump ahead several years. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now remember, Paul has said, I have remained faithful, or I was not disobedient to this vision, to what God gave me. If you look here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, he's writing to Timothy and he says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. In other words, he says, it's time for my death. I'm departing this earth. Look at verse 7. I have fought a good fight. Now look what he says next. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing. You know who won't love His appearing? The people that never captured the vision for their life. Now, we're all going to love His appearing. You know what I'm saying? But for those who stand before Him and have to answer for not receiving the vision, and when you have to give an account for what you've done with your life, here's the plan that I had for your life. How did you fulfill it? Gee whiz, God, as I look at that plan, you know what? I got born again, so I took the first step into it. That's it. I didn't do anything else. Think about this. And some people, well, you know, I got born again, step one. Then I got filled with the Holy Ghost, step two. But I stopped right there. Wow. You mean I lived 48 years on earth and I never went beyond that in your plan for my life? Out of all the things I did, out of all the things that I accomplished, you're telling me none of that was a part of your plan for my life? And he'll just say, yeah, that's it. And Paul is saying, I have finished my... How are you going to know you finished something if you don't know what it is? How are you going to be able to say... You know, people die, Christians. And it's like, have you ever heard people talk about a Christian who's died? Well, I guess it was just their time. Well, you know, they finished their course. Bull honky. You say, well, how do you figure that? May I be bold? And when aren't you, Brother Martin? Most of the Christians I know of who have died, they died having no clue what their ministry calling was. They did not finish their course. They got born again, step one, hopefully got filled with the Holy Ghost, step two, but beyond that, nothing. Yeah, but they taught Sunday school. They didn't know what their calling was. Yeah, but they were a deacon. Didn't know what their calling was. Yeah, but they fed hungry people, but they didn't know what their calling was. Yeah, but they gave a glass of cold water to a prophet, but they didn't know what their calling was. Yeah, but they did this, but they didn't know the vision for their life.
They didn't know. All Christians, I believe all Christians, well, most all Christians, are doing something good. Okay? Now, maybe I'm being a little gracious here, but I really believe that. And you've got a lot of Christians that are going to church and they're faithful and all these kind of things. But what are you doing with God's vision for your life? Are you even on that path? Well, born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, and stop. And going nowhere. This is one of the reasons why it's so important to spend time with God to get that vision. How many times do we go to God and we pray about people? And we should. We're supposed to pray about people. I mean, he talks about this. And we pray for this person who's, you know, fighting a sickness, and this person who's this problem, and that family, and this thing. We pray for these things, and we should. We should do that. But when's the last time we ever sat and asked anything at all about, God, what is your vision for me? God, what revelation do you want to give me today about me? What is it you want me to know about the next step on the path of your vision for my life? What do you want me to know? When's the last time we've done that? Most Christians don't. Here's the thing. You have not because you ask not. And he says, look, I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Now, let me just throw something in here about this keeping the faith. He is talking primarily about keeping faith as far as relationship with Jesus Christ and acknowledging Him as Lord and Savior. But he also had a faith in God that what God showed him to do, God was going to be able to enable him to complete. Now, here's the thing. In between Acts 9, Damascus Road, and 2 Timothy 4, I am ready to be offered, do you have any idea what happened to him? Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now take a look at this. If you look here in verse 23, he's talking about other people and he says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, being whipped above measure. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils of mine own countrymen. In perils by the heathen. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness. In watchings often. In hunger and thirst. In fastings often. In cold and nakedness. It's like, holy cow, who wants to be an apostle? all of that stuff. In addition, verse 28, to those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the cares of all the churches. I think he said, I'd rather be beaten, whipped, stoned. But here's the thing. In between Acts chapter 9, Damascus Road, and 2 Timothy chapter 4, I am ready to go. I have finished my course. In between all of that, in between receiving the vision and fulfilling the vision, he was beaten. He was whipped. He was put in prison. He was rejected. People stoned him. Other preachers, born again, spirit-filled preachers, rejected him, came against him, and he writes about those things in his letters. Shipwrecks, all these things, all of them. This stuff, but the only way that he could finish his course was to go from receiving the vision and passing through the perils in the wilderness, the perils in the city, to pass through the stoning, to pass through the beatings, to pass through the rods, to pass through the whippings, to pass through the stripes,
to pass through the imprisonment, to pass, he had to go through all of that to get from receiving the vision to the vision being completed. And then he says, you know what? Timothy, 2 Timothy, this is it, bud. I finished my course. Listen to what that says. I finished my course. There is no more revelation, knowledge that God is going to pass through me. We know it now as Scripture. All the Scripture that God wants to give through me, it's over. This chapter has come to an end. He received the vision, and then he continued, passing through all this stuff to complete the vision. And the only way he could do that, for the joy that was set before him. Look over in Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Because this right here, what I'm getting ready to show you is basically what Paul and really Jesus did as well. Philippians chapter 3. And we're talking about fulfilling the vision. He says, verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Now stop right there, and I want you to see that this is real King Jamesy. But here's what he's saying. God has given me a vision. It started back there on Damascus Road. It's a vision of what He wants me to do. Jesus died on the cross so that I could be apprehended into the kingdom of God. And now that I have been apprehended into the kingdom of God, and I'm a child of God, I have God's life, I've received this vision. God gave that vision to me, and now what I want to do is apprehend that vision. I want to apprehend the completeness of what He has shown me. I want to fulfill this thing. He apprehended me so that I could apprehend that right there. And he says, brethren, verse 13, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Okay, what things are before him? The vision that God has shown him. The fullness of what God's called him to do. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, what he's saying is the only thing that I see before me is this vision that God has given me. This goal that God has set before me. This is what I see. I know that I've had the beatings. I know that I've been whipped. I know I've been in jail. I know I've been shipwrecked. I know all these things. I know that's happened to me. But you know what? I forget those things which are behind. I don't focus on that. I don't focus on this person coming to haul me away to jail or this person that wants to beat me. I don't focus on that. What I do is for the joy that is set before me. What joy? The joy of knowing Christ and Him crucified. The joy of knowing. Well, look at this. Look he says, let us therefore, verse 15, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye otherwise be minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. And he's saying, look, later in 2 Timothy, he talks about, you know, the crown and the reward, the prize is set before him. It's laid up for him. And he's saying, listen, if anybody wants to accomplish what I have accomplished, meaning walk the path that God has set before you, fulfill that vision, then you're going to have to be equally minded like as I am. And how was Paul minded? He was minded for the goal that was set before him, pressing toward that mark. The mark of fulfilling the vision. And this is what Jesus did. For the joy that was set before him, he pressed toward the mark. What was the mark? The mark was the joy that was set before him. The mark wasn't the cross. The cross was just one step on the way. The joy that was set before him included the resurrection, but it was the people that would benefit from the resurrection. The joy of humanity being restored. The joy of Him being restored back with the Father. The joy of all these millions and millions and millions of people becoming a part of the family of God, becoming joint heirs with Jesus Christ, becoming the offspring of God and being able to do on the earth the things that Jesus had done for the joy that was set before Him. And Paul says, yeah, it's the same thing. Jesus had His vision, I've got mine. And I'm pressing toward that mark. And then that day came where he was able to write to Timothy and say, I finished my course. I want to be able to say I finished my course. Here's the thing. What I'm sharing with you tonight is what short circuits so many people in fulfilling the ministry. Instead of the joy set before them of fulfilling it, they get their eyes onto the trials and the tribulations. They get their eyes on the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the priests and the scribes that come against them. They get their eyes on the congregation and the deacons and the elders that rise up against them. They get their eyes on the stripes and the shipwrecks. Do you see what I'm saying? They get their eyes on all this stuff, and you end up hearing people say things like, I can't take it anymore. What's the use? If this is all that you get in serving God, what's the use? Here's the use. For the joy that is set before you. You know, when people go through that, well, you know, I just can't take anymore. I'm just gonna step out of it. I'm just not going to do this anymore. I can't take any more of this. My family struggles. Paul struggled. You know, we're hungry. Paul went hungry. Here's the point I'm trying to make. You got people claiming burnout. You've got people saying it's just not worth it anymore. And the reason for that is because they've either never received a vision, or they're not keeping their eyes on the prize. Because listen, I'll guarantee you, you may not be beaten, you may not be put in jail, you may not be stoned, you may not be shipwrecked, you may not be thrown out of the synagogue and people try to drag you off, throw you down the brow of a hill and stone you. You may not go through any of that, but you're going to go through something. When you capture the vision, you're going to go through something. Listen, everybody has stinky times in life. What's bad is when you have stinky times in life and you don't know the vision. Because then you're going through stinky times that maybe you could have avoided if you'd have had the vision. I said, yeah, but you said we're going to have stinky times with the vision. Yeah, but I'd rather have stinky vision times than stinky non-vision times. Because at least if I have stinky vision times, I know I'm walking the path toward the prize. I think it's a stinky sermon, Brother Martin. Do you see what I'm saying? Can I bring it home for me? I keep my eyes on the joy set before me. And I'm able to endure people that hear truth after they've asked for it and then get upset and walk out the door never to return. I keep my eyes on the joy set before me. And I'm able to hear about people saying things. He's a cult leader. I keep my eyes on the joy set before me. And I'm able to endure people that reject what God is doing and show up whenever they're in the mood. I keep my eyes on the joy set before me, and I'm able to just keep walking through a sanctuary that ought to be full. And it's not. Am I bellyaching? I'm not bellyaching. I shared before for pastors. If you're listening to this, wherever you are, and you're called to be a pastor, you better get a hold of this one. Pastors aren't called to serve people. Pastors are called to serve God. And when you're serving God, you'll end up serving people the way He wants. But when you make a determination, I'm called a pastor and pastors are supposed to serve people, you're way off base. You've lost the vision. If you even had it to begin with. I'm serving Him for the joy that is set before me. Do I know all the details of everything coming up? No, I don't. No, I mean, He shows me things as they come up. Things develop, things happen as I keep walking. But here's the thing. I don't care who you are. You're going to go through stuff when you're on that path of the vision. But from the time that you receive that vision to the time that the vision... You say, well, when's the vision completed? Tell me, when's the vision completed? I'm going to tell you when it's supposed to be completed. Or I'm going to tell you something. If you're following the path of the vision, okay? The plan that God's laid out for you, do you know when it's over? It's when you die. A lot of people die and never, like I said, they never had the vision. A lot of people die young. Because they did something stupid while fulfilling the vision. But the only time that vision is complete is when you die. That's it. See, that's one of the reasons why you want to live a long time. People, listen, you know, you stomp all over these traditions and all this stuff that people try to preach out there. You know, 18-year-old kid dies in a car wreck. Well, you know, he God took him home. Why? You telling me that kid captured the vision for God from God for his life and fulfilled it in 18 years? It didn't happen. But see, we are so clueless when it comes to these things of God that we grab a hold of anything and lay hope on that stuff. Well, her mother died when she was only 35 years old and had cancer, and God just took her home. I guess she had run her course, fulfilled what God had for her. Not 35! No! No! Do some people die young? Yeah, they die young. But here's the thing. Whether you die young or die old, the bottom line is, keep your eyes on the Lord. Remember I said light at the end of the tunnel? You ever driven on the highway or someplace, you have to drive through a tunnel? There's light at the beginning of the tunnel and there's light at the end of the tunnel. But in between, you got to have your headlights on. You're going to have bright times and shadowy times as you fulfill the vision. It's what happened with Jesus. It's what happened with Paul. But for the joy that was set before them, they continued. They did not stop. This is the path to the vision. You say, yeah, but good night. After hearing a message like this, man, I think it's better just to stay home and watch Star Trek. No, it's not. And here's why. Because when you're walking the vision, when you're living it, when Paul was going through all that stuff, he never lost sight of the goal. Never. And because of that and the joy that accompanied that, he went through all this stuff because he knew there was more. This is one of the reasons why he had confidence. He knew he had not finished preaching as where he was supposed to preach. That's why he knew when the ship went down, he wasn't going to die. Remember? Do you remember? When it's over there, keep reading beyond Acts 26. When they send him to Rome, and Paul goes to them, I mean, he's in prison now, okay? I mean, he's a prisoner. And he says, listen, we should not be setting sail because it's not going to go good for us. And the captain, they didn't listen to him. And so they set sail. And what happened? The storm blows up. Remember this? And after a while, finally, Paul goes up to him. He says, listen, you guys, first off, I told you we didn't need to set sail because this was going to happen. Now he's got their attention. Okay? And he said, look, the angel of the Lord showed up and told me we're not going to die. Here's what we have to do. Nobody's going to die. You know, we'll lose the ship, but everything's going to be okay. Well, how could you have so much confidence? He's supposed to go to Rome and preach, and he knew it. That's part of fulfilling the vision. That's why he knew he wasn't going to die when the ship went down. He wasn't going to die when he was in prison. He wasn't going to die. He knew this.
Because he's fulfilling the vision that God has given to him. Same thing with Jesus. Jesus knew they're not going to kill me. How do you know that? Because he said, hey, listen, no man takes my life. I yield it when the time is right. That sounds so fantasy to us. But when you're walking the path of that vision, listen, you can disagree with this if you want, but let me throw this out as food for thought. Is it possible that if we spend enough time with God and He gives us the vision for our life and our ministry, gives us this vision, like He did with Jesus, like He did with Paul, if He does that, is it possible that we will come to the place of understanding how we control our own death? I'm not going to die now. Because I still have from here to there of this vision to fulfill. So I know I'm not going to die now. Oh, but the brakes went out and we're coming down the side of a mountain. I know, but I'm not dying. You should be thanking God you're here with me. Because if I weren't in this car, you would die. Yeah, but the engines just went out on the plane. We're going down, but we're not going to die. Yeah, but we're going straight down, but we're not going to die. How do you know? Because I still have from here to there to go in fulfilling my vision. Paul lost his ship. I'm losing my plane, but we're not going to die. Listen to me. Oh, Brother Martin, you're talking silly. But if you go back and read Scripture, there's something to this. I mean, think of it this way. When that storm blew up, when Paul was on that ship, do you understand the safest place to be in that storm was on the same ship with Paul? How many other ships were out on the sea when that storm blew up? I mean, who knows? But if they'd all been on there with Paul, nobody would have died. Think of that. There is value to capturing this vision and walking the path of the vision, no matter what happens along the way. Because when you keep your eyes before you, the joy that is set before you, what's the joy? The joy of fulfilling the call. The joy of knowing you've done what the Father wants you to do. It's not always going to be easy. Yeah, there are going to be challenges. And honestly, for me, I hope they're all easy challenges. I don't want to be beaten. I don't want to be whipped. I don't want all these other kind of things to happen. But the thing is, if you keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, if He could do it for the joy that was set before Him, I can do it for the joy that is set before me. So can you. Walk the path of the vision and know that everything that happens along the way is worth it. Because when it does happen, you will be in the place of joy.